At the beginning of a new film titled Ballplayer, Pelotero, Austin Jacobo, who trains teenaged players in the Dominican Republic, invokes a horticultural metaphor. You put the seed in the land and you water it, he says, and when it grows, you sell it. But as the film demonstrates, the process of developing ballplayers can be a tad more complicated and considerably more twisted than that, at least in the Dominican Republic. Joining me now are Ross Finkel and John Paley, two of the film's three directors. Ross and John, welcome to Only a Game.
Hi, we're glad to be here.
Thanks.
Let's listen to the film's narrator, John Leguizamo, explain what historically has been a crucial difference between ballplayers from the U.S. and prospects from places like the Dominican Republic.
For the past 20 years, the Dominican system has produced superstar after superstar at bargain basement prices. When top American prospects were signing for over $1 million, future All-Stars Miguel Tejada, Vladimir Guerrero, and David Ortiz signed for less than $4,000 each.
Ross, neither of the two young men featured in Pelotero, Jan Carlos Bautista and Miguel Angel Sano, signs for $4,000. How did ballplayers in the DR reach the point where the best and most fortunate of them could expect to sign for millions of dollars?
Well, you know, Bill, it's been an escalating process over the past three decades about. When MLB first established themselves on the island, it was sort of a rudimentary system, and they were just hoping to pick up, you know, some of the talented ballplayers that they saw. But after years and years of infrastructure building and building academies, and the need for players from this country started to get larger and larger, and thus trainers on the island, independent trainers like Austin and like Moreno in our film, began to take it as a job and train these players knowing that there was these 30 academies on the island, all of which were looking for players. So it was a gradual process of the sort of locals on the island understanding that this business existed and then filling the hole to train these young kids to get ready for a professional baseball career.
John, you establish early the importance of July 2nd. That's the first day upon which each year's crop of 16-year-old ballplayers is eligible to sign a professional contract. Why is there such an imperative for Dominican players to convince the scouts that they are terrific by the age of 16?
When Major League Baseball established the July 2nd system, that became the day that the whole system revolves around. That's the day that kids grow up dreaming about, and that's the first moment at midnight on July 2nd where players become eligible to sign contract with Major League Baseball teams. Every moment after that, their value decreases gradually. And, you know, 1 year, 2 years after their first eligibility day, these players are considered, you know, old men. They're no longer as valuable as they were when they were 16.
Because numbers of players from the DR have falsified their papers or assumed the identity of some younger player, Major League Baseball now investigates the most promising players thoroughly. Tell us about how Miguel Angel Sano was investigated and examined.
It's sort of an opaque system, the whole investigation process. They do their due diligence to try and find out as much about these kids as possible, and in the Dominican Republic, it's a task more difficult than going online and verifying on the internet. You know, it's, as you see in our film, there's big leather ledgers with these birth names and birth dates in them, and schools don't keep great records. But, you know, I can't speak directly to the investigation process because we actually reached out to try and get a comment from them simply to describe what that process looked like so we could, you know, be enlightened and informed as to how they go about their business, but we were actually denied a request to interview for the film.
At one point during the drawn-out process of the investigation, a scout named Rene Gallo promises Sano's family that he can make the nuisance of the investigation go away, and they secretly tape Gallo's promises, and they send the tape to Sano's agent in the U.S., Rob Plummer, whom we hear from in the film.
I actually tried to show the tape to other teams, but the teams don't want to hear he's 16 years old. They want to believe that they don't have to pay him that much money. Because if you can pay him $2 million, not $5 million, then you're going to try to pay him $2 million. Kind of smells like collusion to me.
Tell me a little bit about collusion as it surfaces at that point.
It's a strong claim that Rob makes, and it's, you know, it's one that's hard to prove. That's definitely what the family believes happened is that One scout, Rene Gallo, cooperated with one of the investigators from Major League to steer Miguel to a certain team. What we do know is that there was an investigation meeting at Major League Baseball. The investigator sat down with Miguel and his mother and grilled him for a couple hours, in which his lawyers were not allowed to be present. And Rene Gallo, who is a member of another organization separate from Major League Baseball, was also present. Certainly suspicious.
Your film has caused some dismay in the commissioner's office at Major League Baseball. What objections does MLB have to the film?
Well, what they've said is two claims. One, that the film doesn't accurately represent what's going on in the Dominican Republic today. And the other issue they had was that, you know, they would have liked an opportunity to comment on the film. Well, as to the latter point, we did reach out. You know, we didn't make this film to cause a scandal. We were trying to answer the question of how the Dominican Republic produces such great baseball players. So we reached out to Major League Baseball in hopes of getting a comment from them about the situation, which we were denied. And as to the first claim, you know, this film was made in 2009. We feel as documentarians that it is an accurate portrayal of what was going on with these two characters within this system in 2009. Major League has taken steps to make changes to the system since then, and so it does look a little different. But as John said, the sort of inherent problem of this age distinction still exists.
Bobby Valentine, the current manager of the Red Sox, who is also the film's executive producer, has said of Pelotero, "It's a documentary and it's what's real." Is Major League Baseball's objection that what you've presented isn't real, or just that they'd rather not have people see how they're doing business and we're doing business in the Dominican Republic?
Well, I certainly think the latter is true, that they would rather people not see it. They do believe that, you know, we are falsifying information, which, you know, in their statement, they never once addressed any of the issues that we bring up in the film. So, you know, if Major League Baseball wants to discredit us and say that this is wrong, then they need to come out and actually give us evidence towards that. And until they do that publicly, we'll still be waiting to hear it.
Ross Finkel and John Paley are two of the directors of Ballplayer Pelotero, which will open in theaters on Friday. Gentlemen, thanks very much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
You're listening to Only a Game.